Everyone should be on slide one of the first presentation. You'll notice that we have all the slides in a frame set. On the left-hand side, all the slides are listed. On the top bar, there's a navigation button. Our presenter will announce the slide number as they're moving to it. You may use the single arrow to the right to advance the slides. For both the phone and simulcast participants, you will also notice that there is a question button above the slides. You may use that at any time to submit questions for the presenter. These questions will queue up on a hidden page that I'll have access to, and when we get to the Q&A part, we will try to answer as many as we can. For those of you on simulcast, you also may use the question button to let us know if you are experiencing any technical difficulties. If you are, let us know what the problem is and send us your phone number so that we can contact you to help out. Our presenter is Ann Vega. She's the Brownfields Research Manager, or Program Manager, for ORD. And, Ann, do you have any comments?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm ready to get started.
Great. Go ahead.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for participating in this webcast. I hope that we can go quickly through the slide presentation part of this, and then I will have everyone click over on a link within the presentation to access SMARTIE, and we'll do a demonstration. Just so that you know, SMARTIE does stand for something. It's Sustainable Management Approaches and Revitalization Tools Electronic. I'm clicking to the next slide, which is the outline of the presentation, and just briefly I'm going to talk about the U.S.-German Bilateral Working Group, which is the group that's been working to develop SMARTIE. I'll talk about the Office of Brownfields Cleanup and Redevelopment relationship with the Office of Research and Development. Talk a little bit about the U.S.-German Phase 3 activities and products, of which SMARTIE is one. Then we'll do a brief overview of SMARTIE, a demonstration. I'll give you a rough schedule, and my contact information is at the end. So on to the next slide. Just to give you an idea of a little of the history of the U.S.-German Bilateral Working Group, the working group actually began in 1990, and you heard me mention Phase 3. Phases 1 and 2 occurred between 1990 and the year 2000. The idea for the first two phases of the bilateral was to focus on cleanup technologies. So we evaluated 10 technologies in each country over that period of 10 years. In 2000, we decided that we wanted to not only look at cleanup of technologies, but also moving on to revitalization. So in 2000, we had the Office of Brownfields Cleanup and Redevelopment that joined our office as a co-lead for EPA. With the U.S.-German bilateral, the cleanup technology piece of the bilateral was run out of the SITE program, Superfund Innovative Technology Evaluation Program, which is housed here in Cincinnati National Risk Management Research Laboratory. So that's why ORD was the lead for the first 10 years. Also in 2000, the Interstate Technology Regulatory Council, that's where we met Terry Smith, who is the moderator for this call, they became a partner with us as well. And for those of you who aren't familiar, this is a group of about 45, 47 of the 50 states, and they are actively pursuing different tools, technologies for different types of environmental issues. And Terry can elaborate if you have any questions about ITRC. And on to the next slide. The Office of Brownfields Cleanup and Redevelopment is funding our office to work with work on SMARTIE and for a lot of the bilateral activities. And then the next slide, which is slide five, just looking at the commonalities between the goals between the U.S.-German Bilateral Working Group and the Office of Brownfields Cleanup and Redevelopment. I just want to focus on the second and the fourth one. On the second one, so one of the main purposes of SMARTIE is to enhance collaboration and communication among and between stakeholders. And this is definitely something that OBCR is interested in. What we're trying to do is remove obstacles to revitalization and thus ultimately preserve green space. On the fourth bullet, enhancing benefits for society, one of our primary purposes is to try and get down to the community level of revitalization efforts. And this is usually a challenge for those of us in government, and federal government specifically, is trying to really make our tools useful to communities, local government, and groups that aren't federal, I guess. I think one of the issues I've dealt with many times, especially being an ORD, is the scientific and technical nature of our work tends to make it difficult to interpret at the community level, and this is something we really want to work on and really need community input. So we're reaching out to everyone that has access to communities, including the regional coordinators that are on the call, hazard substance research centers, and others to help us get to the communities to give us feedback.
Are there any questions at this time? Okay, we'll proceed.
Okay, on to the sixth slide. I just want to give a brief overview of phase three activities. Not only are we developing SMART-E, but one of the things we did jointly with Germany was we have held, we've held six workshops now. I'll show you the table on the next slide. But the workshops were actually organized and developed in order to fill data gaps, things that we needed to gather information on in order to populate SMART-E. And we used some other things as well, but the workshops were a key aspect of that. We were really looking for practical tools and approaches to different revitalization aspects.
Okay.
We also had a, at the end of every workshop, we had a small group exercise. And what we tried to do was take the tools and technologies that were discussed in the workshop and apply those to a site. SMART-E, I'll talk about a lot more in a little bit. It did start out as a document, and it kind of evolved into an electronic decision support tool. The startup plan and startup resource in Germany is basically similar to the document that we had started with, and they are keeping theirs as a document. There are some... there's a lot of similarities between SMART-E and Startup Plan Startup Resource, just to let you know. The information that we used to develop those and the approaches we used were similar. However, there are different situations in Germany and the U.S. that preclude us from having one product. On to the next slide, number seven. This is the table of the workshops. You'll see that CDs are available for the two that occurred in the U.S. in 2002 and 2003. We are printing the one from Saarbrücken right now. Leipzig is in progress. We're putting that one together now. And St. Louis will be after that. We did have our summary in Germany. That was the sixth workshop just last month. And the final summary workshop in the U.S. will be immediately before the Brownfields 2005 conference in Denver. And you should receive information on that shortly if you're on the listserv for that conference. Let's see. I'll on to the next slide. This is just an overview of how we were organized for phase three and the development of the product. I wanted to call your attention to the model site representatives on the left-hand side and just talk a little bit about model sites. These were projects in each country where there was some successful aspect of revitalization. And what we did was we took this information and we used it, again, to help populate SMART-E and the startup products. I also want to emphasize the number of, quote-unquote, experts that we've been involving and will continue to involve. We are definitely, as I mentioned, interested in getting to the communities. Right now we have used hazard substance research centers, which tend to be the university level, to help us with that. and we are looking to include you all as well. Let's see. Next slide. Clarity overview. So now we get to understand what SMARTE is, and we'll do a demonstration here shortly. I just want to point out that SMARTE is a web-based decision support tool. And if anybody is familiar with multi-criteria decision analysis here, and we'll get to the technical terms, it is based on that framework, multi-criteria decision analysis. But the idea in a little simpler terms, it's trying to make very complex decisions that are being made by multi-disciplinary stakeholders a little bit more structured. In any type of revitalization effort, obviously we have a lot of different participants and stakeholders that are have different interests, different needs. We have environmental contamination issues. We have, you know, communities that want to have a say on what their site is and want to make sure that it meets their needs. We have developers that want to make money. We have regulations that need to be followed. We have liability issues in a lot of cases. And then where is the funding going to come from? And there's, you know, those are just a few of the many things that have to be decided in a revitalization effort. But the idea with SMARTE is to help bring all the information together, have the stakeholders have a tool to communicate with and work through the process, and then be able to evaluate different scenarios for their particular site. On to the next slide, number 10. And mine is a little slow. Popped up. This is a SMARTE philosophy vision. You'll notice that down by the page number, there's a little person with a piece of paper in their hand. This means that there's a handout, actually, on the website here, so you can access a little more detail about the philosophy vision. I just want to talk about two of the bullets here. Open source software, the first one. We are building SMARTE in open source software because we want to make this free to the public. So while there's a lot of tools and approaches and models and things that are out there, they're not always free. And what we're trying to do is not reinvent the wheel, but create an open source system that can do the decision analysis without having anybody need a license or anything like that. It's also very transparent. Everything built in open source is available for review by experts in software and modeling. Everything is open, so there's no black box formulas or anything like that. The second to last bullet, presentation and communication tools, this is also something we're emphasizing, that tools that can provide visual visual presentations, I guess, of data, of information. These are things that we are building also into SMARTE so that it can be used by different stakeholders and different groups of stakeholders in order to communicate.
Are there any questions at this time? Okay, we can proceed.
Okay. Slide 11. So why are we developing SMARTE? Talked a little bit about this, but just to, again, go back to the phase three of the bilateral working group. In 2001, both U.S. and Germany held workshops in each country to talk about what are the obstacles to revitalization and what could we as a bilateral working group do to help address some of those obstacles and help remove them. So that was the whole beginning of SMARTE. And here listed are just five obstacles that were identified. Again, the little handout note there. The entire list is also on this website under the additional materials, and you can access those if you would like. Also on that handout, it tells you where the information can be located within SMARTE, so how we've addressed the obstacle at this point. I also want to emphasize that the SMARTE system, and I'll talk about this in a little bit more detail in a minute, is not by any means complete. We are at the very early stages of development, and these are probably not all the obstacles. These are just the ones that we identified in 2001, and the way that they're addressed is probably not complete. This is where we're reaching out to stakeholders now. We want to get additional information on solutions and also additional obstacles that are out there that we're missing. On to the next slide, 12. How are we developing it? I've already talked about many of these. The model projects, the joint workshops, international conferences, the national conferences that we participate in, experts, Interstate Technology Regulatory Council. What we're doing now, as I've mentioned a couple times now, we're reaching out to everyone that we can think of to help us really develop this and make it very useful for all the different groups that could potentially use it. And we feel that pretty much every stakeholder could potentially use SMRTE, and that's what we hope to achieve is by reaching out to everyone now, what can we do to make this meet your needs? So we really want to emphasize that, you know, look at this from your perspective, from perspectives that you're familiar with, and give us feedback. There is a feedback button on the site where you can submit feedback. So that is what we are encouraging people to do. We also are looking for beta test sites. And these are sites, they preferably in the early stages of revitalization. Maybe they're just getting started. Maybe they've been started a couple of times and haven't really gotten off the ground. What we're trying to do here is see, you know, can SMRTE be useful to that site? And if not, what is it missing? What obstacle is that specific site running up against? And we need to then figure out a solution that then we can incorporate into SMRTE. On to the next slide. This is the development slide that I was mentioning. I'll talk about it in more detail. The overlapping phased approach is what I call this, and this is not to be confused with the phases of the bilateral. These are the developmental phases for SMRTE. And the first phase is basically what you can see there a little bit is it's just ideas, resources, best practices, text, links, information, basically. We're trying to get information out regarding a lot of those different obstacles, give links to people for where they might search for additional information, provide as much information as we possibly can. I mentioned that this started as a document. This part is the e-document, I guess you could call it, that was basically, if you printed it out, it would be about 200 pages. So there's a lot of textual information. The second phase is what you see on the top right. At least that's one example. What we're trying to do in the second phase is to take some of the textual information and information from other existing databases and places and build these interactive tools where people can actually find out specific information about their site by providing some input. For example, on the right-hand side, and I'll show you this in more detail on the site, but you see it says past site activities, and what's highlighted there you might not be able to see, it says dry cleaning activities. So what we're trying to accomplish here is what kinds of characterization, long-term monitoring, and remediation technologies might be available for dry cleaning sites, or sites that were formerly dry cleaners. So that's, you know, an example of a tool. Other tools are being developed right now and will be released for the public in October. The third phase, at the bottom there, is the framework for the big picture, I should say. This is the decision analysis piece. This will all be going on kind of in the background. But the idea here is to pull all the information together after someone has gone through and input their site-specific information into different aspects of the SMRTE system to actually be able to do a decision analysis to evaluate the different scenarios or different reuse scenarios for specific sites. On to the next slide. Quick introduction before, just to, again, kind of reiterate what you just saw. There's four primary components. The screening tool was the one I just went over, and basically the screening level that actually will take you in 2007 through the entire revitalization process. Right now it's just kind of a relational checklist, which is why we've been calling it Smart eScreen. The e-document, which I showed you, is phase one, information links and resources. We have best practices also, a few of those in the site right now. A search engine is being developed so that someone, if they're just interested in one specific thing, they can go and easily find the information. And the toolbox, this is where all the kind of the analysis tools, the electronic tools, if you kind of think of it as a toolbox, you won't really see these broken out on the site in October, but basically you can kind of think of it as a toolbox. And we'll be adding these every year, having them reviewed, and then putting them up on the public site for people to use. We're doing this because we feel that the tools themselves can be useful, even though the entire decision analysis capability won't be available until 2007. So on the next slide, just who can benefit from SMART-E. I already said that we're hoping that it can be everyone, all the stakeholders, from the novice to the expert.
Are there any questions? Okay.
Okay, the next slide is when we're going to go look at it. So this is what it looks like right now, and everybody clicks on www.smarty.org, and it might be a little slow because it has been for me today. I'm not sure why. Yep, it popped up actually quickly. I guess if anybody's not there, if you can unmute yourself and tell us. Okay.
I'm definitely not there.
Okay.
We and Regis Bohr aren't there, but we weren't even going to be there, so we're listening.
Okay. If you were intending to be there, do you have Internet Explorer 6 or higher?
I'm there. This is Allie.
Okay. The person who said they weren't there, are you there yet?
No, I don't think I can do it. You know what? I got this a whole different way than everybody else. So
oh, okay.
I don't think I can access it. I'm just going to put you back on speaker and leave
okay.
it alone.
You can if you want to try and open up your Internet Explorer on your PC. You can just type in www.smarty.org and you'll be where we are.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So what I'd like to do is to show you what this looks like now. However, I need to caveat this because we're getting ready on May 12th to have the new version go through the peer review process. And in October, it will go up on the public site. And it will look totally different from this. But from now until October, this is what you'll see at the site. I do want to offer as well at this point, if anyone is interested in being quote-unquote a peer reviewer or reviewing the tools before they go public, just contact me and I'll get you the information that you need in order to do that. All right, now this is how you enter, and you actually do see the four components that I mentioned before, Smart Screen, Smart Resource, Smart Search, and Smart Tools. And if you just kind of think about, you know, scenario. You have a site in your region, maybe you're working with the state and local governments to try and get the area cleaned up. You have you've identified the party responsible for contamination. There's lots of community groups who want to be part of the decision-making process, and there's all sorts of questions that need to be answered and also need to be communicated across the stakeholder groups. So one of the questions might be, who needs to be involved in the process? And so what we've done within Smart Resource, if you click on Smart Resource, you'll see another set of boxes that pop up. Again, it'll take a minute. The next set of boxes have appeared on my screen. Revitalization strategy, economic viability, environmental risk, and social acceptance. And what we're looking for here is who might be involved in the revitalization process. So right now it's housed in the revitalization strategy box. And another set of boxes will pop up on the right-hand side. Mine are there. Hopefully yours are too.
Is everybody with us to this point?
I'm there.
Okay, great.
Okay.
The boxes kind of overlap on the right.
Oh, that's a resolution issue that has to be set on your computer. if you don't mind just dealing with it right now, I can help you after the call.
That's okay.
Okay, on the right-hand side, you'll see several boxes. This is kind of like a table of contents in order to get to the information. And organizational structure and things. Somebody's ringing. Anyways, organizational structure and stakeholder roles, if you click on that and you scroll down, you'll see a table of stakeholders and their potential roles. We've already been given some feedback that this list is not complete, and we have asked for additional information from different groups of people. We might not have the right information in there or information that you would like to see in there in terms of EPA. So, again, any feedback there is greatly appreciated. Community leaders, citizen stakeholders. I think the one that someone said we were missing was economic development organizations. I think that's the one. So, again, this is the beginning. And we want to continue to build this and make it useful. But this is a step. And this is, you know, information that for someone that's maybe not too familiar with the revitalization process could find some information to get started with. Another question might be, does the site area have environmental contamination? And here I go back to the second set of boxes where it says environmental risk, and I click there. There's actually quite a bit in this section, being as how we're developing this with the EPA perspective. If you look at, if you think about, has any environmentally related activities occurred at the site previously, sometimes this information can be useful. And if you click on previous environmental activities on the right-hand side, you'll get some text about the types of things that might have been done before and places to look for some of that information. Currently don't have any links at this point in this section, so that's something that would be very useful to include. Have any site assessments been done? Might be another question that you want to ask. And we have information on ASTM guidance so that people can maybe get a sense of, well, what kind of, you know, what is a phase one assessment? What is a phase two assessment? So there's a link to ASTM's website. I don't recommend you click on the links right now. There are some issues with getting back and forth between other people's sites and this site that we are fixing in the next version. So at this point, I would just look at the table and look at the types of information that is provided there. Perhaps not something a community group might be interested in, but something that might be helpful for a local government person who might just be looking into a specific site.
And this region 4, we went into another room to get on the machine. Where are you on this?
Okay. If you click on, do you see the first set of boxes?
Which the little cross there, smart screens?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, click on smart resource.
Okay.
And then four more across will pop up.
Yeah, right, okay.
Environmental risk is the next one I clicked on, and we'll be here for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And then boxes on the right-hand side.
Oh, my goodness, okay. Whole mess of them. All right.
Whole mess of boxes.
Okay, let me put you on mute then. Thank you.
So another box on the right-hand side is regulatory considerations. So perhaps there might be some regulatory issues. This is in general regulatory issues that someone could get a sense for, the regulatory framework, talking about a little bit about RCRA and LUST and CERCLA. And I do want to point out, on the left-hand side, all the way over on the left-hand sidebar, sorry for my paper shuffling, you'll see model projects, internet links, and some other things here. You see the provide feedback button. I'll just point that out. But I just wanted to show you on the internet link, if you click on that, when it pops up on my screen, but so far it hasn't.
Yeah, this is ours.
There's mine. On the right-hand side, you'll see state sites. And if you click on that, what we've tried to do is provide links to every state environmental type agency department. So you'll see Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation and Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation Division of Spill Prevention and Response. Some of these have voluntary cleanup programs that we wanted to give direct links to. So this is somewhere where you would also be able to look and get more specific information from a state site. For some reason, we're missing Washington State, so I apologize to anyone in Washington. We're adding that in version 2. Okay. Any questions at this point? Sorry, Terry, I just...
No, that's fine. Are there any questions?
This is Allie Evans in Brownfields. I just had a quick question on this. How recent has this information been updated, and how regularly do you update this information?
Good question, and we're asked that a lot. We are currently have only updated about every year, but we now have a automatic link checker, and we'll be able to do that more frequently.
Okay.
In the past, it was manual, and now with the automatic link checker, we'll be able to do that a little bit more quickly. So we're going to try and do it quarterly.
You're going to do it how often?
Quarterly, for the link.
That's great, because I know one issue that we've had, we have all these contacts for state programs on the Brownfields website that I think, you know, probably a third of them are wrong now because the information seems to change rather quickly. So I'm glad you guys have such a rapid checking rate.
Well, we will. We don't yet, but we will. version 2 is, as I said, will be peer-reviewed here over the next several months, and once that one gets uploaded in October, that's when we'll start our quarterly review. Now, information and tools, those are updated and added on an annual basis. So if we get information that needs to be added, it might not be added for you know, many months after the comment is made, just because it's difficult for us to do all the reviews that need to be done in order to get the information cleared so it can be uploaded to the website. Those of you in EPA know what I'm talking about.
Ann?
Yes?
At this time, anyone that's having trouble with the overlap issue on the bar on the right-hand side, if you maximize your screen, that should eliminate a lot of that overlap issue. Okay.
Okay.
You can continue.
Are there any other questions? I guess we'll just double check. Okay. The next thing I want to show you is we're going to go back to environmental risk. So if you just click from where you are back to environmental risk, I want to show you some information about human health risks. And this is a topic, I guess over on the right-hand side, I'm going to have you click on environmental risk management. And this is you have to scroll down a little bit on the right to get there. And this is a topic that the text hasn't really been a discussion point. In this section, we have information on IRIS and the handbook. Is that we are in the process of developing a risk assessment electronic tool. And there has been concern from a variety of different groups. We have both. We have people that are really excited about it, and we have people that are a little concerned about that. And what we're going to do in this period of the next couple of months is have risk assessors review this tool, and if on our review site, and if there are too many concerns, we will not put it up on the public site. But we feel that in this decision analysis framework that we can create something that's useful. I guess one of the fears is that it could be misused, and so that's the issue that we need to deal with. If anyone, again, is interested in any of these tools, I'll actually show you a complete list of tools, or almost complete list of tools that we're developing, and if you're interested in any one of those, to review those, please let me know. Okay, so I'm going to go back up to environmental cleanup and just show you what is listed here, because as many of you know, the Osridi, which used to be TO, has a lot of information on innovative approaches for cleanup and site characterization. And so what we've tried to do is provide links to CLUIN and to the Triad approach, reach it. And then we've also are working on pulling that information together for brownfield stakeholders. At the very bottom of this table, you'll see an entry called Smart Tech. And I'm going to show you, if you go all the way back up to the top, I'm going to show you Smart Tech. If you go to Smart Tools from the first set of boxes, the first cross, and you click on Smart Tools.
Excuse me, where was that?
On the first cross at the very top.
Very top, okay.
Where you click on Smart Resource before, now click on Smart Tools. And another set of boxes comes up, and you'll see Smart Databases.
I will.
Eventually.
All right.
They're a little bit before you, I think.
All right.
And I'll tell you how this is going to look in October. And obviously this is, you know, our first, you know, trying to pull all this information together and how do we want it to look. And we've kind of put more information in there that needs to be. And so we're going to make this a lot more user-friendly in October. But has another, three boxes popped up? Smart Tech, Smart Databases, Smart Heritage? I'll assume it has. On the left, Smart Tech?
Yeah, that's up.
Okay. Click on Smart Tech for those of you who are there. And what we are doing here is trying to allow different entry points for brownfield practitioners. Some people might know that they need a characterization technology. Some people, you know, you might be at different stages, is what I'm saying, in your revitalization efforts. So you might be able to just go to cleanup technology database, characterization technology database, long-term monitoring technology database. If you can do that, you will need to know your the type of contamination you have and in what media. So if it's, you know, PCBs in soil. And then what the, we can do this. Why don't we go ahead and do this? Click on cleanup technologies and I'll just show you. So why don't we just pick, mercury. It takes a minute to get to the next box, which will ask us to choose a media.
Is everybody with us to this point?
Not us, but that's all right.
Uh-oh. Where are you?
The illiteracy school, I think.
This is Allie. I clicked on mercury, but it's... It's still searching. No, it's kind of frozen.
Okay, mine just popped up.
Okay.
So hang in there.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time.
we went from smart, we were looking at smart resources, right?
Right. Okay. And then we went to smart tools, which is...
Smart tools, okay, I got smart, let's see. And then, it, okay, smart tools creates another, there's analysis, databases, calculators, expert, and tools again.
But databases.
Databases, all right. Then we got databases, data, heritage, and tech.
What tech?
At tech, okay. And then we got long past cleanup technologies. That's what you wanted.
I did cleanup. And mine just popped up. So... But it can take you a while before you see anything.
But in Mercury, you said?
I did Mercury and any.
Mercury searching.
And it'll take a minute before select a medium pops up, and that's where you can select any. And this tends to be slower on the EPA computers than it does on my computer at home. And I'm not sure. I've asked people here to check into that, and they can't seem to find... outline. So, I don't know.
Once, do you want us to select air, soil, or water?
I did any.
Okay.
But that'll, actually there's not too many there. It'll take a while, but. Tell me when a couple of you are there.
So this is where you generate income for your program?
Sorry?
Oh.
It looks like there's commercial advertisements on here.
It's not commercial advertisements. This actually comes from ReachIt.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the information is populated by ReachIt. One of the other questions that we are asked a lot of times, and nobody's asked this yet, but maintenance. Well, Allie asked about links. But a lot of these databases and things have to be maintained. One of the ways to do that, which is what ReachIt uses and what we are going to do for much of, well, not all of SmartE, but some of these types of things in SmartE, is to have it user-populated. And what we can do, or what we have done in this instance, is added a column. Let's see if I can find 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth column is labeled tested applicability, and if you put your mouse over that word, tested applicability, this is kind of our way of saying, well, this either has been tested by someone else or it hasn't been tested by anybody else. So if, for instance, the site program has tested a technology, it will show up in the tested by column. And you can see that if you scroll down, it looks like EPA has tested one of these, the thermal desorption, for some of the, for a lot of different compounds. But in the other cases, no one has tested it. So hopefully that will give people an idea of whether or not this information has been kind of verified by someone else. We do provide the reference source of where the information came from so that people can link to that and see if there is additional information on those sites. This is intended to be basically a screening tool. It's not intended to give you the answer. It's intended to narrow down your selections and try to pull information together from a variety of sources. Now, what we have done up to this point is use basically information from ReachIt, kind of pulled it out and put it in a different format. What we would like to do is to just query the ReachIt database, and we're working with Osridi on making that happen. And again, it's reduction and maintenance. And some of the information, like IRIS and some of the other databases, are EPA databases and are very, very of good, you know, have been verified and QA'd and everything. We do have a disclaimer over on the left-hand side that does talk about basically that this is information from other sources. We are not saying that it's the, you know, the end-all, be-all quality of data. is, again, it's just to be a screening tool to help people narrow down their options. I do want to show you past site activities real quickly. If you go back up to the top, and I mentioned this on the during the presentation, that you can just search on, for instance, dry cleaning activities. I'm not going to do that right now because you'll see a similar table as you saw before, and I don't really want to take the time to do that. But we also have been given additional past site activity choices from Nancy Porter from OBCR, and we are updating our databases to include those types of activities. And these came, I think, from the grants that have been received.
And are you asking us to click on past site activities?
You can click on past site activities, but I wouldn't go any further than that.
Okay.
I mean, you can scroll down the list of site types, but you don't need to click on it. Basically, you'll see the similar table, and it just puts all the cleanup characterization long-term monitoring technologies in one table for that specific past site activity.
Very impressed.
Well, there are, you know, we're still working on it. we need to, I don't know if anybody scrolled over to the cost field. It's very, very qualitative. I'm not sure we can go much further than that. We also want to, see what other pieces of information are useful, what's not useful. And it's funny because we'll get different comments from different people that are contradictory, you know, like, well, this column is really important to me, and it's not important to somebody else. So, you know, we have those issues, too. But, yeah, we're getting there. Okay. So let's go back and just quickly look at back to Smart Resource, and you can just click Smart Resource from where you are, because I want to show you the what's under social acceptance and economic viability, since we haven't clicked on those yet. So under social acceptance, one of the important things, like I said, is how do we communicate with the public and involve the community? And if you click on the button that says public involvement and communication, again, you get some text that talks a little bit about that. And if you scroll down a little ways, you'll get to some paragraphs that say, and some bullets that say, the following steps are suggested approaches for setting up an effective community participation program. This is what we have now. The tool that is going to be uploaded in October that we've been working on, actually had a woman from Italy help put this together. She was worked with us for 6 months, and this was part of the work she was doing in her thesis. She worked on putting together a tool that would allow you to put in some of your specific situation information, like I would like to have small groups of people. I'd like to have, I have this much time. I have this much money. That sort of information to narrow down the types of public participation that might be appropriate for your specific situation, because there are just lots and lots of different types of participation that you can do. Flyers and, meetings and citizen juries and, depending on the level of involvement and where you are in the process. So that is a tool that will be up and running in October. The cultural heritage. You saw when we were in databases, you saw smart heritage, I think. One of the things we've done is we've tried to put in some different information about how to preserve cultural heritage, because this is something that is important in a lot of different sites. If you go on the right-hand side and click on cultural heritage and historical preservation, you'll see a little bit of information. But if you scroll down to the very bottom and see best practices for addressing social considerations, and there are best practices right now in each section, you'll just see some different things that other groups have done in terms of social acceptance. The second one actually has to do with cultural heritage. Best practice B. This is actually a German site, and it gives some information about what they did in order to preserve cultural heritage. So, again, we're trying to raise awareness of what people have done so that it might give ideas to other people about what they might do. And that database has a little bit more information and some contact information that people can access for Cultural Herd. The next piece, we'll click on a revitalization strategy again from where we are. And just to give you an idea of what we're thinking of, what's there now, we're looking at future use of the site area and what we're thinking of. The project vision and future land use on the right-hand side, if you click there. It basically talks about goals and vision and objectives and meeting regional and local needs and trends, marketing the benefits of the project. A lot of issues in terms of funding come up in looking for investors, so this is a way to maybe think about your marketability of your site. We also have a section on sustainable reuse. This is our first discussion of sustainable reuse, but we actually have someone working with us on developing sustainability criteria, looking at different different aspects of a site to determine if it's moving away from sustainability or towards sustainability. Not really saying it is sustainable or it's not, but moving toward or away. And these, again, raising the awareness of what can be done.
You tie in ER3 on this thing with a weakest thing about green development and stuff like that.
We need to do that.
Bill Page, I think, is the contact.
Okay. Who is? Alika?
Yeah, Phil Page.
Phil Page. Okay.
Just one more comment. You guys are working with the Smart Growth Office?
Can't hear you. Say that again?
I said you guys are working with the Smart Growth Office?
Well, you know, Allie. Allie was on a detail to Smart Growth.
That I was.
Yeah. But we have sort of made a little bit of contact, but we have not been working with them directly, no. And perhaps Allie can help us with that.
Sure. Also, another thing. In this project vision and future land use,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess is the sustainability section of their, or, you know,
that's
sustainable.
Where it is right now.
Okay. Are you, like, sort of, I see, like, at the bottom you have these sort of general characteristics of sustainable redevelopment or sustainable cities, but are you going towards, like, you know, industry standards as you do with cleanup, for example, ASTM?
I think under the ASTM, sure. Under the ASTM, when we were clicked on environmental risk and we clicked on ASTM, the guide was there for sustainable reuse.
Okay.
But it's not linked at this point. That's something else we're trying to do with the site is to create more internal links, go back and forth,
mm-hmm.
that are related.
I'm just thinking in terms of sustainable reuse, specifically redevelopment, there are various green building standards and even some smart growth standards out there that you can link to easily.
Yes.
That if you plan on going to that level of detail, this would be a good place to put it.
Yes. And also LEED is another one.
What?
Building.
LEED.
Certified building.
Yes.
Yeah. So that information is, I'm pretty sure we've got most of that in the next version. But I will double check.
Great.
And I'll put you down as reviewer so you can check it. Make sure everything's in there. And it needs to be in there. Okay, the idea for Project Vision and Future Land Use eventually is to really look at, I know Victor, this is near and dear to Victor's heart from Region 8, really look at visual simulation tools, being able to visualize some of the sites after, perhaps with these different ideas and scenarios, and kind of look at how they might look, depending on the choices you make within the Smart ecosystem. Down the road, but something that we would like to get to. Okay.
Are there any questions up to this point? Everybody's with us? Okay.
Not too much more on this demo. And we don't have very much more on the presentation, but I do want to show you the economic viability section. Because this was a major obstacle that was identified, is where do I get the money to fund this revitalization effort? If you go to the financial resources on the right-hand side, I think this section is probably one that will be used quite frequently. If you notice the scroll bar, kind of small, it goes on for pages and pages. Public financing is first and private financing is second. And right now we have loans, grants, tax incentives, and then there's little paragraphs about specific types of funding, community development block grants. HUD is in here, Department of Transportation, Small Business Administration loans. One of the pieces of feedback we received was that it's a little difficult to go through all of these, and we're working on improving that. But the information is there at this point for people to access. And there's just a lot of opportunity there for funding. There's other grant resources, and if you keep going down, and it just goes, and we even have the regional offices listed. I'm afraid to click on this within the system that we're in. I'm just not sure what it'll do. But some of the grants that are provided by each of the regions. And this might be a useful tool for you to provide to your grantees. You know, if it's linked right there, you probably have another way, but this might at least be able to link them into SMART-E and get them looking at some other options and ideas.
You click the region, you go to the regional homepage, and then you go from there.
Okay.
I just did that from four. So.
Okay. Now, getting back to SMART-E might be a challenge.
I just backed up, and there I am.
Okay, good. Some sites work, and some sites don't.
Just a quick comment.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that you said that this stuff is going to be updated more in October, and there's that Strengthening America's Community initiative, which is supposed to consolidate a lot of these federal agency programs.
Okay.
So that's just a highlight for you, because I think it's proposed for, this next year's budget, and it would, kind of take out, like, the HUD piece and the economic development piece and push them all together into something else.
Oh, great.
So just a heads up.
Who's doing that?
It's under one of the president's initiatives. I'm trying to think where I found it. Oh, I think you can go to the Department of Commerce under the Economic Development Agency, and there's a description of that initiative on their homepage.
Okay.
It's not, for sure yet, but it could be.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that. Thanks. Let's see. Funding sources. I'm making notes, and I need to be clear, or else I'll lose it. Okay. Oh, thanks. Okay, back up to the top. Another, on the right-hand side, a piece that might be of interest to local governments and communities is investor issues. And so I'm clicking on investor issues. And there's just a little bit of information about things that, if you're looking for investment, some of the things that might be important to address in a plan, a revitalization plan. And one of the ideas of SMART-E is to allow people, by working through all of these different aspects, is actually to, if you include all this information, you can actually develop a revitalization plan. This will be a little bit more straightforward on the revised site, but the idea is that, here, let me just, I'll have you click on Smart Screen while we're here over on the left-hand side, left set of boxes where Smart Resource and Smart Tools and everything is. If you click on Smart Screen, this is that big picture piece that I mentioned. So by looking at, vision and land use and market analysis and doing all of these different pieces, you can develop a plan. The idea is that as you work through this process in 2007, the inputs that you do in the system will populate a plan for you so that when you're finished, you can print out your plan, which we think will be useful. Okay, I was going to show you legal and liability issues, but you can find that later. Let me just talk, give you a kind of an overview of what this is going to look like in October. We're actually going to have 9 points of entry, and it's not, you're not going to see anything of what you see right now. You'll basically have 9 boxes that will be things like introduction to revitalization, future land use, project participants, community involvement, preliminary environmental assessment, human and ecological risk management, economic analysis, sources of money, and liability. And all of the tools that are associated, all the text and the tools that are associated with each of those sections will be right there in those boxes, and I think that'll make it a little bit more user-friendly. So that's kind of a heads-up as to what it'll look like in October. Okay, so I think if you just close, well, before we close.
Are there any questions?
Yeah.
You race through those 9 boxes, but we'll get them later.
Oh, yeah. yeah, I think I can type them up and post them, maybe, on the website.
That'd be great. Thanks.
I'll do that.
Anything else? Okay, at this time we'll click out of this aspect of the training and we'll go back to the PowerPoint slide.
Okay, so I'm back on slide 16, which is where we left. Access the beta version of SMART-E, and this will be a beta version for many, many years because we'll be testing it for a while. Anticipating 2010, actually, for everything to be totally finished. In 2007, we'll have the decision analysis piece complete, but there's still a lot of things we want to include, and I'll show you some of those in a minute. But if you click to the next slide, which will be number 17.
Is everybody with us to this point? Okay, and 17.
Ooh, okay. My 17 popped up kind of strange initially, but then it clarified itself. Just to let you know that you can also access SMART-E through the ITRC website. ITRC has a brownfields team. I think it'll be changing its name to revitalization team. But right now, there's a brownfields team. They've done a vapor intrusion document. SMART-E has been worked on by them as well with us. And then they're working on some BRAC information as well. So there's lots of good information on the ITRC website, too. Okay, on to the next slide. Features under development. Okay, this is a brief list. This isn't everything, but this is some of the work that's going to be released in October. And as I mentioned, if you would like, you know, if any of these jump out at you and you want to do a review of it before it gets released to the public, let me know. I mentioned a couple of these. I didn't talk about the table of land use options and reuse scenario templates. These are just ideas that we've, again, collected from others and just trying to give people ideas for what they might do. There's a case study best practice template we're going to put in place. This is something, again, that was requested in our last set of reviews. Again, user-populated. Has anybody done something really neat that they want to share with everybody? Raising awareness of what can be done in different situations. Another comment we received that we won't address until next year is a lessons learned database. So what did you try that didn't work? And that sounded like it might be useful as well. Characterization, monitoring, data analysis, and presentation. This is one of those presentation and communication tools I mentioned, where you can actually put in your characterization and monitoring data and have a statistical analysis performed on it and look at it graphically. and be able to talk about it with different stakeholders. And the Human Health Risk Assessment Calculator, that's one I mentioned. Market costs and benefits. One of the key issues, I think, and the key aspects of SMART-E is this idea of cost-benefit. And it's not cost-benefit in an economic framework, but it's cost-benefit in a decision analysis framework, which is quite different. So the market costs and benefits are pretty similar to what would be done under an economic framework. But once we start moving into non-market costs and benefits, where we're really trying to value social and ecological impacts, that's when we will be more under the decision analysis framework. And we've actually got several different groups that are helping us with this. Guy Tomasoni from Land Revitalization, they're looking at social costs and benefits. And there's an interagency working group that is looking at ecological systems and services. It's Army Corps, EPA, and NOAA. And so these different groups, and there's others as well, are all working in this area and trying to put things together. So, next slide. Number 19. The additional SMART-E focus areas. As I mentioned, in 2007, the decision analysis piece will be up and running for urban brownfields. But other areas that we would really like to get a handle on and get more information in SMART-E include rural areas, mine-scarred land, methamphetamine sites. I don't have on there US sites and Superfund sites, but to me those are kind of a given. In phase four of the bilateral, we're going to look at regional and local land use planning, you know, not focusing just on a site, but looking at the site in the context of the larger area to make sure that it fits into the overall plan. Green building materials, energy, this is where what Allie was getting at, too. Yes, we're going to be developing more and more links and tools. We talked about a database. Maybe there's one that already exists within the Smart Growth Office that we can tap into. Energy conservation of buildings, those types of things. Long-term stewardship is something near and dear to OBCR and something we are going to be working more towards. And metrics is something that we are all required to do with an EPA and look at how our efforts are impacting brownfield sites. Okay. Next slide. Just a schedule, rough schedule. We're always getting feedback. We want to, you know, look for beta sites and get projects involved and get more information from those people who are trying to practically use this. Annual updates to add tools and address comments, I mentioned that, but we will be able to check links more frequently. Complete decision analysis tool by October 2007, and what we're calling sustainable revitalization tool through 2010. The next slides are just more informational. My contact information on slide 21. And slide 22 are a list of helpful websites. Oh, and there is a slide 23, which I didn't add, but this is from for the links to the additional resources. What's there now are the handouts I mentioned, and I will type up the 9 boxes and load that up there as well. Actually, I'll send it to Peter, who will load it. Okay.
At this time, we'll answer any questions.
Okay.
Everybody absolutely loved it, apparently, or they've fallen asleep.
I didn't fall asleep. It's very good.
No, we're awake. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, we really, really appreciate you guys being able to attend. I'm very happy to do this presentation and being given the opportunity to do this for you. And I just hope that we get a lot of feedback.
Ann and Terry, South Carolina says thank you.
You're welcome, Gail. Thanks. If you have any questions, please feel free to forward them to either Ann or myself. We'll respond to them directly. please fill out a feedback form so that we can make this presentation even better the next time around. And that would be very helpful for us. Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you.